This is the Thriving Dentist Show with Gary Takacs, where we help you develop your ideal dental practice, one that provides personal, professional, and financial satisfaction.
Welcome to another edition of the Thriving Dentist Show. I'm Gary Takacs, your show host. Very excited to have a new friend tonight on the Thriving Dentist Show, and that's none other than Dave Esham. Dave, how are you?
I'm very good, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
You know, Dave is a longtime listener. I've learned is a longtime listener of the Thriving Dentist Show, and we've had a chance to connect via email, and very excited to have him on the show. Dave's got some great information to share with you tonight. And one of the types of guests that I love to have on the show, of course, there's two criteria, Dave, for you to be a guest on the show. And by the way, you passed both of them with flying colors. Would you like to hear what the two criteria is?
For sure.
So I don't meet
very many criteria. So
well, you meet good. These two, and these two criteria are: number one, you have got to be an authority on your topic. And by the way, our topic, we're going to talk about a variety of things on this show, but the majority of what we're going to be talking about is how to use digital photos for patient education. And that's our primary topic. But number one, you are an authority. That's one of the criteria. And number two, you have to be passionate about your topic. Dave, you meet both of those requirements in abundance.
Fantastic.
Hey, for many of you will know who Dave is. If you don't, buckle up. He's going to be an exciting guest for us. So let me credential you, Dave. Would you do me a favor and keep me honest as I go through your credentials?
Sure, we'll do, Gary.
So Dave's been practicing for over 30 years now. He graduated from the University of Pacific School of Dentistry. In fact, it's now called the Arthur Degoni University of Pacific School of Dentistry. In fact, you had the wonderful opportunity to have Dr. Degoni as one of your mentors. Is that correct, Dave?
He meant a lot to me as a student, and that's how what a great man he was. He connected with so many people, and even as a freshman and a sophomore, he reached out to us and even my wife to make us feel comfortable.
You know, I've known Dr. Degoni for many years and had the privilege to work with him when I was up there in the postgraduate department. And I'll simply state it this way: you will not meet a finer human being than Dr. Art Degoni. Just an amazing gentleman. He's extremely accomplished, but what I consider his greatest accomplishment are his people skills. He has a deep affection for people he gets a chance to mentor, and he's just an amazing human being, that's for sure. Well, Dave graduated over 30 years ago from University of Pacific. He practices currently in San Diego, where I grew up, by the way. Dave is an accredited member of the AACD. I believe that number is around 300. I might be slightly off on that. It might be a little bit higher than that, but it's a very limited number of accredited members. He's accredited by the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry. You are big on adult orthodontics in your practice, in your general practice, in particular Invisalign. And currently you've done almost 1,200 Invisalign cases in your practice, and you're on pace this year to do almost 400. You'll probably crack 400 this year. How cool is that?
I really enjoy it, and it's the ultimate form of cosmetic dentistry, in my opinion.
I agree. We'll talk about that as well. David is a fee-for-service practitioner in a very competitive marketplace, by the way. I mentioned I grew up in San Diego. I know San Diego very well. It's a very competitive marketplace, yet Dave is successful practicing fee-for-service dentistry when I'd estimate that 95, 96, 97% of your colleagues are heavily involved in PPO plans, and you've managed to stay clear of that. We'll talk about that a little bit, but hey, how did I do? I could go on for the entire show with more credentials, but we've got lots to talk about tonight. How did I do with credentialing? Did I do okay?
You did great. I really enjoyed dentistry and enjoyed all the challenges I put in front of myself, especially with accreditation. And so I'm just happy to be talking with you and hopefully sharing something that will help a fellow dentist somewhere. And when you're talking to you and on your podcast, you speak anywhere in the world, not just in the United States.
You know, we've got listeners in 140 countries now, it's exciting to be able to reach dentists all over the world and hopefully impact their lives in a very positive way. So if, wherever you're listening to this from, we sure appreciate you, and thanks so much for being part of the Thriving Dentist Show. So Dave, let's dive right in. You know that I recently did a course, an online course called Breaking Free from the Shackles of Insurance. And that's a 4-week course, about 7 hours of content that we kind of walk you through over a 4-week period of time with about 7 hours of content. And it's all about how to reduce insurance dependency in your practice, how to reduce insurance dependency. And in fact, if you're interested as a listener, if you're interested in that course, it currently is available. We don't, that course is not open all the time. However, it is currently open for enrollment. It's entirely digital. You can go to shackleefree dentistry.com. I'll put it in the show notes. So if you're driving, do not take the hands off the wheel. I'll put that link in the show notes so you can click on that if you're interested in that course, but it's shackleefree dentistry.com. But Dave, I think you attended my webinar that we did about reducing insurance dependency. And
yeah, I have to thank you, Gary, for putting that on. And it was just amazing and inspiring. Being fee for service, I don't take that for granted. I'm always looking to be better, and I'm always looking to keep my independence from insurance companies. And so when I saw you're offering that course, even though I was fee for service, I wanted to take it because, again, you can't take, I can't take my practice for granted, and I wanted to continue to practice with the freedom to do the right thing for my patients and not be constrained by insurance companies. So I would recommend to anybody listening also to take that class and find out how it fits for you, even if it doesn't mean taking all the PPOs out of your practice. It'll surely help you get rid of the ones that are not benefiting.
You know, my whole concept of putting on that course was not necessarily to take attendees to be completely fee-for-service unless they were driven to do that. What I was really interested in doing was just reducing the insurance impact in their practice. And I shared exactly what we did, what Paul and I did at Life Smiles, our practice. So when we bought our practice in May of 2007, we discovered very quickly it was virtually inundated with insurance PPO plans. The previous dentist, his only marketing was to sign up for PPO plans. And as a result, he had, I think I counted at one time, 34 PPO plans that we were participants of. I didn't even know there were 34 plans in Arizona, Dave. We quickly found out there were. Over time, we resigned from all those but one. Today, we have one PPO plan left in our practice. It's Delta Premier. By the way, we have a negotiated fee schedule with Delta Premier that allows us to be compensated at a level that we can accept. I'm not excited about the discounts that I'm subjected to under Delta Premier, but they're low enough to where I can make them work. If that ever changes, then we would resign from Delta Premier and we'd be fee-for-service. The single most important strategic decision that Paul and I have made in this practice, the single most important strategic decision was to reduce insurance dependency in our practice. That has, our vision, when we bought that practice in May of 07, Dave, our vision was very simple, but profound and at the same time. It was to take care of patients the way we'd like to be taken care of. And that guides everything we do. That guides our clinical decisions. That guides our adoption of technology. That guides the quality of team members we have working at Life Smiles. That guides our commitment to continued education, the materials we use, the technology, everything. And I'm proud to say that we're able to deliver high-quality clinical care and a remarkable patient experience because we were able to reduce dependency on insurance. And, it's just been a wonderful road for us to follow, a wonderful journey to do that in a very competitive marketplace, by the way, as yours is as well. So to start with, your practice is 100% fee-for-service today. Was it always that way, Dave?
No, it wasn't, Gary. When I bought when we looked to buy a practice back in 1988, my wife and I looked along the coast between Los Angeles and Orange County. And as it turned out, we went further south to San Diego, and we're at this point. We're glad we did. But back then, we were looking for a cash practice because we didn't really want a practice that was, had a bunch of insurances, even back in 88. And as it turned out, we found a cash practice. We bought it, but, you know, a few weeks into it, we found out that it wasn't just, it was cash, but it was only $29 cash.
Well, you got the cash part, right? You just didn't get the right amount.
Yeah, and what we found out is the doctor there surely had a lot of new patients that were cash, but that was because he was putting $29 coupons on the back of grocery receipts. Mm. The patients would get a cleaning, x-rays, and exam for $29. And so we obviously didn't want to practice, much like you didn't want to practice in your PPOs with the practice you bought. And so we slowly changed it. We got help from consultants like you to change it. And we eventually dropped our last insurance company that was the one there right by me at the University of California, San Diego. And we were scared. But
hey, I'll just true confessions, Dave. I've got to tell you. I had a lot of trepidation and nervousness as we did this in our practice. I had conviction, but I was scared. I don't mind admitting that. And especially when about a year into it. See, when we started to resign from the plans, that was August of 07. And our economy was still pretty good in August of 07. However, about a year later, August of 08, the economy went upside down. We're now a year into our plan to resign from these insurance plans. And frankly, Dave, we were too far in Paul and my analysis, we were too far along the pathway to go backwards. And so we stuck with it. But I have to tell you, had I known a year before, you know, in August of 07, that the economy was going to go upside down in August of 08, I might not have gone down that path, and I'm kind of glad that I didn't know. This is one case where ignorance was bliss. So we stuck with it. We stuck with it, and we did lose some patients. However, we lost far fewer than expected, and we learned how to market to attract patients that weren't choosing us because we were on their plan. And it's made all the difference in the world. And I know one of the things we're going to talk about today is how some specific things you've done to thrive in a very competitive marketplace where you're sort of contrarian. Being in a fee-for-service practice, you're very contrarian in San Diego.
Exactly. And I agree with you. It's always scary to be dropping, you know, insurance companies or possibly losing patients. But if you do it the way you describe and you're breaking free from the shackles, it is the most, you know, comfortable, if you want to call it that way, of doing it. And it's the most strategic in the seven steps you give. And you tell people right off the bat that you don't have to drop them all. You just take the worst ones out first and then slowly get into it. And you can even keep some of them if you wanted to.
So I
highly recommend that because I think insurance companies are kind of hurting us dentists like cows to accept their plans. And they're kind of corralling us and milking us for our knowledge and services, and all the profits are going to them. And so I know that those are strong words, but think about it as a dentist. If you're taking PPOs and discounting your fees, you are being definitely controlled by the insurance company.
Well, the simple, let's have a quick discussion on this, Dave. I know you understand this, and I want to explain this to our listeners. The reason why dental practice overhead has gone up so much in the last 10 to 15 years. By the way, the American Dental Association reports that in 2014, the average general dental practice had 74% overhead. And overhead, let me define it. I don't want to make any assumptions here. Let me define it. Overhead is all of your costs of doing business without the owner-doctor compensation. So if you have associates, that's part of that. If you're solo, then that's all of your expenses to run the practice with the exception of the owner-doctor compensation. And I want to go right on the record as saying, if your overhead is 74%, doctor, you're working too hard for too little. You deserve better than that. And the reason why your overhead is so high, it's actually very simple. most dentists, because they're PPO providers, have lost the ability to adjust their fees to counteract the ever-increasing cost of doing business. Dave, does that make sense?
It totally makes sense.
So,
you know, insurance fees are going down, and our rent and expenses and technology is going up.
Well, let me frame it a different way, Dave. Let's assume, just for fun, just to play along with this for a minute, let's assume that you own a restaurant in San Diego, okay? And you decide that it's a very nice restaurant, and you decide that you want to raise the quality of your meals, and you source a higher quality of beef. You source a higher quality of fresh seafood. Perhaps you source a local source of organic vegetables for your dishes. And as a result of raising the quality of your meals, you have to pay a little bit more for those things. What would you do to your menu prices then to counteract those increased costs of doing business?
Easy fix should go
up. Yeah, and you'd be fair about it, but you'd have to raise it a little bit to cover the increased cost of doing business. So in dentistry, you know, let's say you want to invest in CBCT and a comb beam because you're placing implants and you feel like, you know, you absolutely need that information in order to reliably and predictably place implants. Well, the insurance company doesn't say, oh, well, Dave, since you invested in a CBCT, let me give you higher fees.
Absolutely not.
So
they're forcing dentists to do things faster, quicker, and in order to like stay the same. And it's just crazy. You're like mice on a wheel. And I just like dentists to be aware of that and to think about, you know, how they can make their practice better.
Well, and furthermore, that they have choices. They have, you know, you heard me on the webinar talk about this, but our guests haven't heard this yet. I want to mention, not that I would actually do this experiment. I want to make that disclaimer. I would not actually do this experiment. But if you did, if you were to place a frog in a pot of water, Dave, and put that pot of water on the stove and turn the, turn the heat up, do you know that the frog would actually end up boiling to death in that pot of hot water? Because the right. As the temperature came up, it would just get used to it. And at one point, it would die from the heat of the water. However, if we dropped a frog in a boiling pot of water, it would jump out.
Exactly.
So I use that analogy. Today, most dentists are that frog sitting in the boiling water and the insurance company is turning up the heat. And we're just sitting there.
They are, Gary. And, you know, again, I get pretty worked up about it. But, you know, I even heard this, that, you know, if you sign up for a PPO, that maybe a couple months later, they're going to send you a letter saying, well, since you're on our PPO, you need to take this PPO. And then that, in order to keep the one you have, and the other PPO ends up being lower fees. And so you say, okay, well, I'll take that because I want to keep the good one.
Right.
And then 6 months down the road, they flip that and they say, well, since you're taking these low fees, we're just going to take your fees and drop them down to the lowest level. And that just isn't right.
Now, last week, I happened to be in a client office, an oral surgeon office in Ohio, and I was visiting with our office manager, and I asked her the question, how many PPO plans are you on? Now realize that specialty offices often have to be mindful of what plans their referral offices are on, and they don't have to participate with those, but they often will make decisions about that based on their referral offices. And she said, well, technically, Gary, we're only on 8 plans, but she said, because if I'm involved in this plan, I also have to take this one. She said, it's really 36. So it wasn't 8, but in fact, it was 36. And she was rolling her eyes. She said, you know, they have just kind of sucked us in on this. But the message that I want to leave our listeners on this is that you do have a choice. You have a choice. And we've been very successful with it. As I mentioned in that course, Breaking Free from the Shackles of Insurance, I shared all the things that we did that helped us with this. And we have gotten some really good feedback from our course attendees saying that what a difference it's making in their practice. And I encourage them to go slow like we did. You know, it was about a 2.5 year journey for us. And we didn't do it overnight, but we did it over a period of time, and it was the most important strategic decision we ever made. Well, Dave, so this kind of provides a nice transition. In your opinion, what is the most important thing you do that keeps your practice fee-for-service in a sea of PPO practices?
Well, you know, one of the most important things I do is I share my dental photography with patients during an exam. And I basically go through the pictures and let the patient see their pictures and see exactly what I see. And I know a lot of people talk about doing that, but a lot of the problem with dentists is the cameras they're using are too complicated and too awkward for a staff member to use, and even for the dentist to use on a quick, you know, very quick basis. And so one of the things that I want to share with everybody tonight is, you know, a camera that's easy to use, a camera that an assistant can use, a camera that the doctor can say, you know, assistant, you take x-rays and you take pictures. And so I don't want to give more work to the dentist. I just want the dentist to take a little bit more time during their exam and go over the pictures with them. And so if we have time today, you can go through some of the verbal skills with us.
You bet. We use that same camera. And let's clarify that when we're talking about photography here, we're talking about digital photos, not intraoral photos. Now, I want to clarify that for just a minute. David, I love intraoral photos. And we have intraoral photos in our hygiene ops. We love them. We use them every day, intraoral cameras. But we're talking about digital photos here. And the difference is when you use your intraoral camera to take a picture of a cracked tooth and you want to show the patient, Dave, it looks like you have a crack in that tooth. Let me show it to you. It leads to tooth dentistry. When you start taking pictures of smiles and arches, which is what we're going to talk about with these digital photos, it leads to comprehensive care because no longer is it just tooth dentistry, but it's problems they see with their smile. And it leads to a much more comprehensive interest on the part of the patient. Do you see that, Dave?
Absolutely. I mean, it goes from tooth dentistry to quadrant dentistry to full mouth, you know, dentistry. Not that when I say full mouth, that you're restoring the full mouth, but you're showing the patient their full mouth, and they get to understand that. And the biggest value to dentists, and every dental consultant that I know says this exact thing to make your dental practice successful. You say it, pride says it, fear says it, place says it. There's nobody that will disagree with. You need to develop trusting relationships with your patient. And the biggest thing photos do for a dentist is bring a trusting relationship between the patient and yourself to a very quick meeting. They trust you right away because you're showing them pictures of themselves and they're seeing things just like you see them, and all you're doing is narrating.
The treatment becomes their idea.
Exactly.
You know, when they see it, you know, we incorporated digital photography literally day one in the practice back in May 1st of 2007. In fact, Dave, you'll be interested in this story. You know, our practice was bereft of technology when we bought it. It had no computers in the operatories. We had one computer up front that was used to send billing statements to patients. That was it. So we had no software, no clinical software. We had no computers in the back. And we had a problem. And the problem was that virtually every patient had pending treatment that remained to be completed. But the previous dentist was watching it. In fact, we nicknamed the practice a Timex practice because every chart had a watch on it.
That's a great name.
So how would it have been, Dave, if Paul came in, and it was a turnkey transition. The previous dentist went out on a Friday afternoon. Paul walked in Monday morning. most of the patients didn't even know they were going to see a new dentist. You know, that was news to them. How would it have been if Paul came in, house of fire, bull in a china cabinet, if you were the patient, Dave, and he introduces himself, "Hey, Dave, I'm Dr. Paul Nielsen. It's great to meet you. Let me take a look in your mouth. Well, Dave, we're going to need to restore your mouth." How would that have gone when the last time they were in the practice 6 months ago, the previous dentist said, "Well, Dave, you're basically in good shape. I got to keep an eye on something over here, but we're good. I'll see you next time." How would it have been? Where would that trust have been?
Everybody would have ran out the front door.
So Paul and I met that entire weekend before the Monday he started. And I said, "Let's look at your patients on Monday. Let's look at them on Tuesday. What are you going to do?" And he's looking at this. He goes, "Oh my gosh, every one of these patients has significant treatment that needs to be done that hasn't been completed. What do we do?" And I said, "Well, you can't come in bull in a china cabinet, Paul." So I said, "Well, let's do this. Let's buy a camera." And we just, you know, we had to do this kind of improvisationally because we didn't have the technology. I said, "Let's buy a laptop computer. Let's buy a camera. Let's take photos. Here's the six photos." I was going to use Frank Spear's model of six photos. "Let's take these six photos and let's upload them to the laptop and just put it on your lap and show them to the patient and see where it goes." And guess what happened? What happened was a patient, there'd usually be one tooth that really kind of jumped out at him. You know, and the patient would point to, this is one time, Dave, where I wish this was a video podcast instead of an audio podcast so we could show some of this stuff, but we'll talk through it. But the patient would point to the laptop and they say, that's up here on the upper right. That's right here, right? Right? And Paul would say, "Yeah, that was, and the patient would say, "That doesn't look very good." Paul said, "Well, you know, that the previous doctor did mention that, you know, there's a treatment plan there. We should get that taken care of." Well, what happened then was really kind of surprising. The patient would say, "That's up here on the upper right." And they'd point to their upper right. And Dr. Nielsen would say, yep, that's it. And they'd say, "I'm going to be numb here, right? I'm going to be numb up here." And then they'd point to the tooth next to it that also in the photo looked horrible too. And they'd say, "Can we do this one too?" So instead of a single tooth, it became their idea. And Paul would say, "You're absolutely right. You're going to be numb there. And that tooth is part of the treatment plan as well." And you're right. We should do that at the same time. And that's exactly what happened.
The patients don't have to go to dental school when they see pictures. They know what to do.
Well,
and especially if it's the picture of their favorite subject. Their favorite subject is themselves.
It's themselves. It's themselves. Well, you know, what we found, and I know you've found the same thing, is when you start showing patients their photos, you hear two comments almost universally. The first one is, "Wow, never seen my teeth like this before." And the second comment is something like, "Oh, yuck. Ooh, what's this? What's that? What's this?" And that really is a perfect, it's like music to your ears, right?
Oh, exactly. You have them engaged.
And
when you're talking about these pictures, they're seeing exactly what you see.
Yeah.
And you're not pointing out a problem that isn't there. They see it themselves. And so it's instant trust. It's instant relationship.
Now, you mentioned a key point. We're going to kind of cover a bunch of key points, but one of the key points you mentioned, and I believe in it strongly, is that you're not the one that takes these photos. It's an assistant who takes the photos. Is that correct?
Absolutely, Gary. You don't want to give the doctor more things to do. And especially when it comes to pictures, you want your assistant to take pictures, and it's actually easier for the assistant to take pictures than it is for them to take x-rays. And with this camera, and if you don't mind me introducing it,
no,
now,
please do it now.
The G16, and I assume we'll get this on the show, but it's a Canon G16 from a company called Photomed.net.
Yep,
is a point and shoot camera that has a diffuser on it that allows it to shoot pictures just like a through the lens camera would, and so you don't have to stand above people balancing this big nozzled camera over somebody. An assistant surely can't do that. And you just have to hold it, look at it, see if it's focused, and shoot the picture. It has the dial on it that either is for intraoral picture or for a portrait. It's two switches, intraoral or portrait. And it just set up so nice and easy. And I know I'm excited about it and I'm telling you about it. I have nothing to do with this camera. I make no money from this camera. The people at PhotoMed are just really, they're nice.
And they're fabulous. It's a company that provides cameras specifically for dental application. This camera is the one that we bought. We also have, Paul has a Canon D50. He has that massive 35-pound. It may not be 35 pounds. I might be exaggerating. But he has his wonderful, and so on the AACD cases, if he's taken something he wants to publish for AACD reasons, then he uses that camera. And it's got a ring flash and, it's wonderful. But I want to emphasize that we're not, you're AACD accredited, so you know the process. So that
correct.
If a patient comes to your office and says, Dr. Esham, I am interested in having you do my smile, and you're going to take them through the, I think it's a 32 photo series. Paul does that. It takes him about an hour to get those records. I want to emphasize that that's not what we're talking about here. Correct?
Absolutely. It's just the camera you hold in your hand.
Yep.
If it didn't have the dental diffuser, you'd take pictures of your family at home and put it on auto.
Yep.
And basically, PhotoMed has set it up so it's pretty much on auto for you to take. Gary, I have to tell you, the pictures from this camera compete with those through the lens cameras that you're talking about.
They do.
But you wouldn't want to take it for AACD accreditation. You wouldn't want to take it necessarily for an article submission. But I've blown up these pictures, and you can blow them up 8x10 very easily.
The megapixels on that camera have improved to the point where you can get very, very, very fine resolution. As David mentioned, rather than using a ring flash, it uses a light diffuser. It's a plexiglass diffuser that's designed specifically for this camera. And what it does is it diffuses the light when you're taking the intraoral photos with this camera. The problem with just going to Best Buy and purchasing a consumer camera or using your iPhone or using your Samsung camera. Those are very good cameras in the iPhone, very good cameras in the Samsung device. However, when you take a close-up of the teeth, without the light diffuser, the teeth will be overexposed and they'll just look like white chiclets. You won't even see, you won't see any, line of demarcation between the teeth. You won't see any embrasure spaces. You won't see any of that. It just looks like, a white chiclet. So that's why that light diffuser is so important. We take six photos. Can we compare notes here, Dave? We use Frank Spears. So the first one, I'll tell you the ones, and then if you wouldn't mind adding what you do. So we take the first one is just a head and shoulders shot. Just smile for me naturally. We're looking for like the head and shoulders picture. The second one is a close-up retractive view. We have the patient hold the retractors. We have them say E, and we're looking for a close-up. We just want middle of nose, middle of chin, middle of cheeks. It's a close-up photo. The third and fourth we borrowed from our friends, the orthodontist. They're upper and lower occlusal views using the hourglass-shaped mouth mirrors. So you're not actually taking a picture of the teeth on those photos. You're taking a picture of the reflection of the teeth in the mirrors. And then the fifth and sixth photos are right buccal corridor and left buccal corridor, where the patient simply holds a retractor out and you point the camera about 45 degrees down the buccal corridor. Those are the six that we take. We may take a seventh occasionally. The seventh would be a profile view if there was an issue of lower chin placement. But those are the six that we take most of the time, and occasionally we'll throw in a profile view. Now compare that to yours. Compare that to what you do.
That's pretty close, Gary. Because I do Invisalign, I take a few more pictures because they need a side views with patients fighting. But for a purely for an exam and for people that want to do this at their office, I recommend six pictures too. We do a smile. It's about a 1-2 picture. It's a smile close up. It's a retracted straight on with the teeth separated.
Yep.
We take an upper occlusal, a lower occlusal like you, and then we take one with retracted straight on biting, and then we take the full face.
Oh, nice.
And I like to leave the full face for last, because in the discussion of these pictures, it kind of leads to that, because I want the patient to see their smile in their mind as I'm talking to them, and their health and their beauty. And their alignment in their mind as we're talking through the first five pictures. And then I want to bring it back to them with their full face picture and kind of draw it with them looking at it, saying, wouldn't your smile look nice with this wider leads to greater this tooth level, things like that, so that they actually have a picture of what their smile is going to look like after we're finished with whatever treatment we may decide. And that way, I leave an impression of them in their mind.
Oh, I like
that. That's when I know I've been successful.
I like the way you finish with that, because it gives you a reference point with which the patient can start to visualize and see where we might go. Oh, that's awesome. We'll start doing that one tomorrow. That's awesome. So, Dave, talk a little bit about what you say to the patient as you're going over the pictures. What do you say?
Well, you know, one of the first things that I'd like to leave at Herbal Skills is it's always hard for a dentist to bring up optional things, especially cosmetic dentistry. And so I kind of preempt, you know, looking at the pictures with a discussion. Okay, Mrs. So-and-so, we're here for an exam. We're going to check your teeth, your gum, your bone, and your jaw joint. I assume it's okay if I tell you if there's a cavity or if there's an infection or if there's something that I see unhealthy. And, you know, obviously they used to say, yeah, sure, that's why I came here.
That's why I'm here, yeah.
After I say that, I say, would you like me to comment on your teeth in terms of anything we might suggest to make your smile better? You know, so I ask them if it's okay to talk about cosmetic dentistry after I've told them my primary concern is their health.
So you're using a permission statement. You're asking permission to talk about those things after you've identified that your prime focus is disease and decay.
And that's exactly the truth.
I love that. It really leads them on a natural path when you say, you know, I'd like your permission to point out any concerns that I see. Would that be okay? Everyone's going to say, well, of course, that's why I'm here. And then.
Correct.
Then when you add, you know, as I'm doing so, may I also have, you know, permission to point out, you know, any concerns that I see with your smile. And I imagine that most people, it's going to be an outlier. There'll be an odd outlier that'll say, I don't care what they look like. But most people are going to say, yeah, sure.
They do. And 90% of them do. Every once in a while, if somebody says no.
Sure.
But anyway, so that's kind of preemptive. And then again, while I'm doing my exam, I'm discussing with my assistant who's charting things that, you know, are of concern. And since they've given me permission from a cosmetic standpoint, I can talk about rotated teeth. I can talk about chipped teeth, not just, you know, the caries and gums. And so, and I use words that the patient understands. Howard Brand calls it words your mama would use.
Gotta love Howard.
He's such a character. And so, you know, I say teeth are rotated. I don't say the root is taut. I say the tooth is chipped. I don't say it needs a class 4 closet. Right. And so people kind of have a, you know, this thing going on in their mind as we're doing our exam. And then we sit them up, and the first picture I show them is their smile picture. And just like you said, they go, ooh, ah, whatever. But I use a cosmetic form. Steps that Frank Spear taught me. I talk about where the two front teeth are and whether I like where the two front teeth are, but I do that after I ask the patient, what do they think? And when they go ooh and ah, that's when I go, yeah, I think there can be, you know, some improvements here. Let's put the upper two front teeth in the right place first, and we take the tooth next to it and put it in the right place, and then we start moving around the arch form so that they have a straight, symmetrical, wide smile. And that starts painting the picture in the patient's mind as to what an ideal smile is like.
This is wonderful. This is so useful. I can imagine all of our listeners being able to apply this. It's just so applicable. And what you're going to find, and I don't know, pardon my enthusiasm and excitement around this, but literally, as soon as you introduce photography for patient education, patients' interest in their mouth goes up geometrically. In fact, you mentioned Frank Spear, and I've mentioned Frank. He's a good friend, and I had the privilege of spending some time with him recently in a retreat. And I pulled Frank aside, and I said, Frank, I'm working with a lot of young dentists these days, and I said, if there was one tip you could offer a young dentist to accelerate his or her career, what would it be? And without a moment's hesitation, Dave, Frank said, can I give you two? Can I give you two? I said, absolutely, Frank. And he said, number one, I would teach them how to use digital photos for patient education. Exactly what we're doing in this show. Okay.
Yeah, bullseye.
And number two, he said, I would teach them how to project confidence when communicating with patients. So we don't have a lot of time to do the confidence one, Dave, but may I offer a couple of suggestions related to the confidence one?
Sure, if you allow me to do one too.
You bet. You bet. Let's do it. So my first one, and this comes from a really great friend of mine, Janice Hurley. Janice is an expert at image and also nonverbal communication. And Janice taught me this, eye contact. Eye contact. So one of the quickest ways to communicate confidence is to establish eye contact with the patient and hold it. And when I say hold it, I don't mean an awkward stare, but I mean established eye contact. And Janice suggests that there's studies that will confirm this, that if you establish and hold eye contact for 8 seconds, and that's a long time when you count it out. You know, that
for sure.
8 seconds. And again, you're not doing an uncomfortable stare. You're just establishing eye contact and you're holding it. 8 seconds is the point at which something subconsciously happens where confidence is conveyed, you know, in that process. So that's my first confidence tip. You go ahead. Do you have one?
The way I'd like to help, especially early practitioners or maybe somebody who's just getting into either orthodontics or cosmetic dentistry, to have confidence is to have before and after cases.
Love it.
To show the patient at the end. But it doesn't, I'm telling people that, you know, oh, I don't have any or mine don't look that good. Well, use some other cases. There's a lot of libraries that you can use. And you don't lie to the patient telling them that they're your cases. But you can tell them something like this. Look, you know, I see you're up before front teeth. We're talking about doing veneers. Can I show you a case like yours? If you go over to your iPad and you pull up the four front teeth with four nice veneers, and I go, veneers can help your four front teeth look just like this person's smile. You don't tell them that it's not, you know, that it's your case, but you tell them what veneers can do for them. And
love it.
That will give you confidence in showing. And then as you take the pictures, you'll have your own case like that.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Dave, can I offer the ninja trick and I'm using playful terminology here, but can I offer the ninja trick regarding photography for patient education?
For sure.
You ready for this? Mm-hmm. So for a number of years, we would upload the photos onto a monitor. And we kept enlarging the size of the monitor, you know, as we were able as flat screen monitors came on and we could buy bigger monitors, we kept putting bigger monitors in the operatory. And I think, you know, get the biggest one you can. You know, if you have room for an 80-inch monitor in the operatory, put that one in there. But better than that, do this ninja trick. Rather than uploading them to your server and upload them to the monitor, upload those to a tablet. To an iPad. Now, I will admit, I am a Apple fanboy, so I'm using Apple and Mac technology here. But you could use any tablet. I don't know why you'd want to use something other than a Mac, but you could. Well, I guess I let my bias slip in there. Upload the photos to a tablet, and here's what happens, Dave. Rather than it being a passive exercise where the patient's looking at it on the screen, you hand the patient a tablet. Now, I'm going to borrow a chapter from our friend, Dr. Frank Spear, and I want to give him credit for this because he taught me this. Not with a tablet. I'm the one that had the tablet to it. But Frank would print these photos out, and then he would make an excuse to leave the room. If you were the patient and yeah. I was the assistant, he might say to you, Dave, as the assistant, I might say to you, Dave, here's the photos that we took earlier today. And that was when Frank was using, you know, printed copies of the photos. And the assistant would say, Doctor and I need to get some things ready for the next patient. While we're out of the room, would you do me a favor and take a look at these photos? and make a mental note of any questions you have. And when we come back in the room, we'll take as much time as you like to answer any questions you have. Well, we do the same thing now with the tablet, but we load the photos onto a tablet. And by the way, the technology for that is you can use your photo capture card, and there are adapters, card reader adapters that plug into the bottom of the iPad. And then you simply, all we're using the iPad for is for display purposes. We're not storing them on there. They're being stored on the server. All we're using is for display purposes. For that reason, make sure that you've erased any other photos of patients before so that we don't wander into their photos. That'd be a HIPAA violation. So we upload them onto the tablet, and the assistant says something like, Dave, doctor and I need to take a look at your radiographs. While we're doing that, would you do us a favor and take a look at these photos? By the way, it works just like your smartphone. If you want to take your finger and flick it, you can see the next photo. If you want to zoom in, just take your fingers and pinch them out. Here, go ahead and try. And we leave the laptop or leave the tablet in their lap, and then we leave the room for 2 or 3 minutes. And when you come back, our experience has been you barely get 1 foot in the room and the patient's firing questions. Hey, doc, what's this? The other day I was in a client office and there was an older patient. He was probably 70 years old. And this is may not be an exact quote, Dave, but it's a paraphrase. Patient says, hey, doc, them teeth in the back look really short. Ain't supposed to be like that, is it? Now, let me ask you, as a dentist, don't you love it when the patient is approaching you with the problem?
Oh, it is not you talking to them. They're talking to you a lot of times. And it puts you in a position of being like a pro sportscaster. So all you're doing is commenting on the game. And the game is these pictures and the patient's asking you to think about it. And you're the expert in telling them why this tooth is worn, why they have an abstraction here, why the tooth is chipped, what can be done to help this flat triangle in between the two front teeth. I was listening to a football game the other day and I'm going, that's kind of what we just do with the pictures. But my expertise is the teeth, not, whether they're running a dime defense or not.
Love it. What a great analogy. And it's just so great. And I think any of our listeners would agree when the patient is approaching you. I mean, if the patient said to you, hey, doctor, there's a space. I just noticed there's a space between my front teeth. Can we do anything about that? I mean, that's in your wheelhouse right there, right?
Oh, for sure. And it doesn't matter how introverted you are. That's your topic. You can always talk about it. It's really simple. And freeing. One more thing, Gary, that I wanted to mention with these pictures is in my office, and I know in your office, you have pictures of people with beautiful smiles.
Yes.
And that's a great thing for decoration, but it also gives the patient a basis of what a nice smile is. And so when they come in and they see these pictures, in the subconscious mind, they have what a nice smile is, and they compare it to theirs. So I would recommend that dentists have somebody that they compare to all the time with these pictures and have pictures of nice smiles around in the same room that they're doing the presentation.
Love it. We have many after photos that are enlarged and they're part of our office decor. They're after. They're not before and after. They're after. Beautiful after photos. And we have different ages. We have both genders. We have different nationalities. We have young patients, older patients. And it literally demonstrates subconsciously that a gorgeous smile is appropriate at any age. And you'd be surprised how many conversation starters those photos are when someone walks by and says, wow, she's got really pretty teeth. Those are all patients of ours. By the way, our photos are all actual patients of ours, and we have their permission to use those for marketing and educational purposes. They sign a release allowing us to do that. And we can say, when we give a tour, one of the things we say when we take the patient on a tour, new patient in the practice, we say our last stop on the tour goes something like this. Dave, although we are a general dental practice, our doctors and our team members also have advanced training in cosmetic, complex restorative dentistry, and dental implants. So all of the photos that you see of people up on the wall are actual patients of ours that we've helped have the smile of their dreams.
That's beautiful.
And that's just, it's not selling. It's just letting them know it's available. One quick funny story, Dave, this happened in a client office, and it was an older patient. And he was not using the tablet at this time. He was using a monitor, and the monitor was smaller. And we started going through the photos, and the first one was the head and shoulder shot. And the second one was the close-up. And anyway, this patient was in her 70s, and she had crowns on 8 and 9 that were done over 50 years ago. Over 50 years. Now, I'm not sure what the technology – and by the way, I'm not sure what the technology was 50 years ago for materials, but they didn't match. They probably didn't match 50 years ago. They certainly didn't match 50 years later. And of course, she had the silver racing stripe at the gum line. You know what that is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's the metal, it was porcelain fused to some kind of metal. Anyway, we showed her the first photo, the head and shoulders shot. We showed her, flipped to the second one, and she kind of squinted because she was older. She couldn't see really well. She said, "Whose teeth are those?" And the doctor said, "Well, Millie, those are yours." And she squinted again, and she goes, "Well, I guess they are." She said, "That looks horrible." And she has a bit of a sense of humor. She turned to the doctor and she said, "Doctor, I can't believe you've been letting me walk around like that."
Oh, there's that girl.
And then the doctor has a sense of humor, and he slapped his knee. He said, "Millie, you're absolutely right. Shame on me. I can't believe I've been letting you walk around. We should get those taken care of." And she says, "Chop, chop, right now." She wanted them done right away. But it was the photos that opened up the conversation to that.
Yeah,
it was the
photos. Very common experience, even if it's not someone who's 70 or 80, even if you're 25 or 30 and your teeth aren't straight, it's a perfect introduction to some kind of short-term ortho, either Invisalign, Systemic Smile, whatever it might be. But these pictures really, really help a practice.
Hey, Dave, can we get you back on the Thriving Dentist Show to talk about specifically about Invisalign and talk about some of the techniques you do to create patient interest in adult orthodontics? Can we have you back?
Oh, I love that, Gary. I love that. It's not what the dentistry, and especially now Invisalign, which is the ultimate form of minimally invasive cosmetic dentistry. You take no tooth structure away, but make somebody smile beautiful. I mean, that wasn't available to us general dentists in a big way until Invisalign came out.
Yeah.
Made it easier. Well, I'm happy to talk about it.
Well, you've got, approaching 1,200 cases with Invisalign. You can do about 400 this year. That's a huge body of knowledge and experience. I'd love to share that with our listeners. You know, Dave, I want to take a minute and say thanks. It's music to my ears to hear you using photography the way I've taught and the way I've learned from wonderful mentors like Dr. Frank Spear and David Hornbrook and others. And it's so cool to hear you using that in your practice. I know that our listeners would like to get in contact with you. Also, you have a couple of resources that our listeners will have some access to. Can you talk about those resources?
Yeah, for sure, Gary. And, just the dentist, just do it. You know, that's what the whole thing about tonight is just take the pictures. You'll see the benefits. Just give it three cases, three patients. Just do it.
Just do it.
But I'm happy to share the photo med information. I'm happy to share the verbal skills information with each picture, an example that I use, and I also have a video that I can post on YouTube for you to watch on how the consultation actually goes. And it's kind of ironic we're talking about pictures using 1,000 words, but we're just using words tonight. But with those resources, I think it'll bring everything full circle. So, yeah,
Dave, how about we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but how about if we do this? What if you email me those links and I'll put them in the show notes? So I'll put them in the Thriving Dentist Show show notes. And that way, any of our listeners can just go to the show notes. The show notes are at TACAS, T-A-K-A-C-S, learningcenter.com. Just go to those show notes, and we'll provide that video and Dave's resources so you'll be able to apply that to your practice. Does that sound fair, Dave?
Yeah, surely can do that.
Awesome, awesome. So it'll be in the show notes. You can just click, and you'll have access to the video. You'll have access to his photos, his the camera. The camera, really, I want to amplify that. Love that Kodak D16. It's simple, but it's totally perfect for the dental environment. I mean, it's just like, it literally is the perfect camera for what we're talking about here. And you're going to save yourself a lot of pain and aggravation by having the right camera for sure. So we'll list that in that resource as well. Dave, provide our listeners with your website address and your email address as well, if they'd like to reach out to you.
Sure. My website address is www.eshom, it's spelled E-S-H-O-M, and then the letters BDS after that, eshombds.com. And then my email is pretty easy too. It's doctor with a dot and then the letter E, doctor.e at eshombds.com also.
Again, I'll put those in the show notes. So again, don't take your hands off the wheel if you're driving, but the website address is Eshom, eshomdds.com. And email is drdr.e@, and that was at SBC Global.
No,
at eshomdds.com. Perfect. So drdr.e. at eshomdds.com. And I'll put those in the show notes. So, and I want to encourage you, take a minute, reach out to Dave. He's got massive experience in this. Hey, and just, send him an email and say thanks. And for those of you that have never had the opportunity to visit San Diego, I have no financial affiliation with the San Diego Chamber of Commerce, Dave. I want to make that disclaimer. But all of the listeners now from 140 countries, you now have a friend in San Diego. And
please come by.
Please stop by, see Dave. I'm sure that he'd love to spend some time with you, show you what he's doing in his practice, and get to showcase his fine city. It's called America's Finest City for a very good reason. We spend most of our summer there, and it's a fabulous place. And Dave, I'll look forward to connecting with you the next time I visit San Diego. But hey, Dave, I want to say thanks. Thanks for your passion. Thanks for your commitment. You are not an ordinary dentist by any means. You're quite exceptional. I love your modesty, though. And I love the way that you have made this so practical for all of our listeners. Thanks so much for taking time out of your life to share this with them. Thanks for being a listener to the Thriving Dentist Show. I sure appreciate it.
You're welcome, Gary. And I want to thank you for putting together the steps to become less dependent on insurance. You are the only coach consultant that is doing that. And I compliment you for that.
Well, thanks. It's a passion. And again, if you're interested in that, the course is currently open. Again, it's digital. You can access it 24/7, 365. It's about 7 hours of content. Just go to Shackle Free Dentistry, Shackle Free dentistry.com. And you can get more information about that course. On that note, just one more request. If you're a regular listener to the Thriving Dentist Show, I just want to say thank you. We sure appreciate you. And I have a request. If you like what you hear on the show, if you'd be kind enough to share it with a colleague, I'd sure appreciate it. Just like in your office, the very best patients come via referral. Our very best listeners come via referral of a colleague. So if you like what you hear, if you wouldn't mind reaching out to a colleague and sharing the Thriving Dentist Show with them, we'd sure appreciate it. It's free. As you know, it's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher Radio. It's also on the website. All 195 episodes are up and available for free. You can download every one of those. So please share it with a colleague. You might have to tell them what a podcast is. Someone asks you, what the heck's a podcast? The way I answer that is I say it's simply an internet radio show that's accessible 24/7, 365. And that tends to resonate with people. So, hey, thank you. I appreciate you. And on that note, I'll say I look forward to connecting with you on the next Thriving Dentist Show.
When you cry, be sure to dry your eyes, 'cause better days are sure to come. And when you smile, be sure to smile wide, and don't let them know that they have won. And when you walk, walk with pride. Don't show the hurt inside, because the pain will soon be gone. And when you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean blue. When you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big.